Well, we'll talk about the first meeting with President Trump and Vladimir Putin, and we'll explain why the transgender revolution will not succeed.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I know it's the big news. President Trump, Vladimir Putin meeting face to face in Helsinki, their first ever meeting of this kind. They were together at the beginning of the meeting, and then doors closed just with translators, then joint press conference afterwards. Boy, it's going to take a while for the dust to settle on this one, but we'll talk about that some. And then talk about a large cultural social issue that may actually touch someone near you. 866 34-TRUTH. If you'd like to weigh in, 866-348-7884. In fact, I'm going to do a poll on Twitter, and I'm going to ask on Twitter how you feel about the president's performance overseas on this trip, meeting with Theresa May, Brexit-related discussions in the UK, meeting with the Queen, and now meeting with Vladimir Putin. How do you feel about his performance? According to former CIA director John Brennan, who is a fierce critic of Donald Trump. Are you ready? Donald Trump's press conference performance in Helsinki rises to and exceeds the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. It was nothing short of treasonous. Not only were Trump's comments imbecilic, he is wholly in the pocket of Putin. Republican patriots, where are you? That is what Brennan had to say. Other headlines, of course, reporting things very differently. I read the statement of a body language expert. So you're watching behind closed doors. Now the doors open. There's Trump. There's Putin. There's the first handshake. And they're both sitting there, and it's an awkward moment. Now, I'm in a lot of situations publicly where you don't know who goes first or what's supposed to happen. You kind of look at each other for cues. So, and for all of you who've watched these kinds of things or been in them yourself, it was definitely an awkward moment. And then Putin starts off, and of course, his comments are shorter, which is easy for a translator. Trump's weren't long, but detailed enough in his typical rambling style that could make it challenging for the translator to get exactly right every time. So I was curious to see how that was going to unfold. And of course, I don't know any Russian. But this body language expert said it was like two fighters. You know, you'll have the stare down, you have the weigh in the day before the fight or some press conference, and you have the stare down, and the guys just look at each other's eyes. I always think if I ever did that, I'd start to smile. I'd burst out laughing at a certain point. But, you know, this the stare down and you know, they're going to look into each other's souls. And you'll have fighter analysts who'll say, oh, I saw this. He said, I saw weakness in his eyes. I saw weakness when they did the stare down. And they're trying to decipher that and figure it out. Mike Tyson, the famous heavyweight boxer, said he knew immediately in the ring that he had already defeated the guy just by the look in his eyes. So according to this body language expert, neither man yielded. Neither man. And they both sat and they fixed their suits a certain way. It's like getting ready for battle. And neither one showed admiration or esteem for the other. So what are we to make of all this? What actually happened in the press conference itself? So just give an idea of how radically differently things can be reported. Breitbart.com, so very conservative right-wing site. Donald Trump defends summit with Vladimir Putin as bold American democracy. Quote from the president, I would rather take a political risk in pursuit of peace than risk peace in pursuit of politics. Now, just for fun, go over to the Huffington Post, which is as far to the left as Breitbart is to the right, perhaps even further to the left. And what does the headline say? Pathetic Prez rolls over. Treasonous. Yeah, so this is now the new call. Treasonous. So just expect to hear this now, that the president committed treason. There have been efforts to get him impeached. There have been efforts to disqualify him. He's not mentally stable. Remember some months back where they had all these psychologists and psychiatrists doing what they're not allowed to do, diagnoses from a distance. Oh, he's not fit mentally. And then, of course, physically, he's not fit. And then, of course, he's guilty of various crimes and should be impeached. Now he committed treason. That's going to be the line. So just watch and see. And I imagine that this, like everything else, will fairly quickly blow over. It will get all the play that it can play, and then it will blow over. While most Americans won't be focused on that as much as they'll be focused on how the job market is doing, as much as they'll be focused on do they have a sense of security here in the country, as much as they'll be focused on other more personal issues of stability. But you'll watch. This is the treason. The president committed treason. High crimes, treason. It will be everywhere. And I don't have the time right now, this being such fresh news as we get into the show, to do a major search everywhere to look for this. And by the way, I'm not giving an overall evaluation. Number one, I was not there behind closed doors. Number two, I haven't had time to carefully analyze everything having to do with the press conference and then to read the various pundits and their takes on either side. So he may have done a terrible job. He may have done a great job. I don't know. Putin, on his part, said that he had nothing to do with his country trying to hack and influence the 2016 elections. And remember, this would have been under President Obama's tenure that these things were taking place. So Trump over the weekend said, what was Obama doing about this? So the battles continue. And Trump, of course, continues to say it had nothing to do with it. One New York Times writer suggested that since the 1980s, Donald Trump has been a sleeper spy. Yeah, he has secretly been a spy for Russia. And that's what this whole thing is, all a Russian plot. Ah, yeah. And not only so, he's also secretly working for the Mars Humanitarian Society. Yeah, because the Martians are trying to get better relationships with human beings, and Trump is also a spy from Mars. I just wanted to throw that in, not just a spy for Russia, but a spy for Mars. You heard it first, right here on the Line of Fire. Okay, back to reality here for a moment. Putin invited Robert Mueller over to Russia. Go ahead, do your probe. President Trump has said the whole probe is a disaster. And to this moment, there is zero evidence that Donald Trump colluded with Russia to win the election. Is there purported evidence that Russia hacked the election, hacked the DNC emails and got the emails of John Podesta and things like that? There appears to be, or at least that is the public statement. This is what has been found. What was also found and stated publicly at the end of last week is that there is no connection to Trump or his administration. So here's my take, friends, on everything. I am all for praising the president when he does well and criticizing the president when he doesn't. I am all for celebrating something he does, which is why we voted for him, and bemoaning something he does, which is what we feared would happen if we voted for him. I have no issue with that. In fact, I believe that's being even-handed. Look, when you are an umpire in a baseball game, when you are a referee in a football game or a soccer game or a basketball game, you cannot take sides. You cannot be rooting for one team or the other. In fact, if it's found out that you are, and then the worst crime of all, actually placing bets in a game where you can influence the outcome by your calls, then you are disgraced for life. You are disqualified for life. So when the religious leaders came to speak to Jesus and to try to flatter him, they said, oh, rabbi, teacher, we know that you're impartial, that you only speak the truth, that you don't care about human opinion. And Jesus, in contrast, and even though they were trying to flatter him, what they said was absolutely true. And they were about to get a dose of it themselves. In contrast, Jesus asked the religious leaders of his day, how can you believe when you care about the praise of men more than the praise of God? And Proverbs tells us that the fear of man is a snare. And Paul writes in Galatians 1 that if he yet we're seeking to please man, not in the sense of Romans 15, where we serve one another and serve the weaker and put their needs before ours and their preferences before ours, but in the sense of being a man pleaser, compromising your convictions for the sake of your companions. Paul said, if I was still doing that, I wouldn't be a servant of the Messiah. All that to say, we cannot be partisan politically and righteous at the same time. We cannot be partisan politically and speaking the truth in love at the same time. We cannot be partisan politically, by which I do not mean saying the Republicans are better here or the Democrats are better here, or the Republicans are worse here or the Democrats are worse here. No, that's applying a standard of truth and righteousness to everybody, okay? However, we cannot be partisan. Well, I'm all for the Republican Party. I'm all for the Democratic Party. I'm all for the Libertarian Party or whatever. I'm all for this candidate or that, and be impartial and unbiased at the same time. So I may get you upset because I speak well of Trump one day. I may get you upset because I speak against him the next day. And the same with those that on the other side of the issue. My goal, my only goal on the radio here, is not to fill time, is not to try to get listeners by talking about controversial subjects in a non-efficient way. My goal is to seek to weigh in as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. That's my goal. My goal is to speak the truth in love. So here's what I have to say about the summit, about President Trump in Europe, about issues with former President Obama. Here's what I have to say. Let the dust settle. Let us see how these things go. The same Donald Trump who was a bull with the European Union, who was a bull talking about Brexit, who was a bull talking about NATO, who got some results very quickly on certain issues, and created some major national firestorms and others that could end up being productive firestorms. Was he the same man in private with Vladimir Putin? Was it alpha male versus alpha male, both not budging from things that were important to them, but recognizing that world peace could depend on them getting along? Did Trump do what he'd normally do in some audacious way to make some kind of deal long term? Or did he back down and cower? We don't know yet. We don't know. Let the dust settle. Don't get caught up. It's going to be everywhere the next few days. Don't get caught up in wild partisan politics. Fair enough? We'll be back to talk about transgender revolution.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Join in on my Twitter poll, all right, over on Twitter. I just posted the question seconds ago, literally seconds ago. Asking this, how do you rate the president's performance in Europe on this trip? All right, just asked it literally seconds ago. How do you rate the president's performance in Europe on this trip? Excellent, good, fair, or poor? You can call me if you like, 866-34-TRUTH. And for those of you that followed carefully today's events with the meeting with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki. Let us know your thoughts. Happy to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. There is a constant flood of news having to do with transgender issues these days and transgender individuals. And it's something that I'm always looking at and we're always getting questions about. And I thought it would be helpful to look at a number of headlines, a number of articles, and talk about some of the major reasons why I am convinced the transgender revolution will fail. Let me give you a few reasons why I firmly believe the transgender revolution will fail. Let me first say this. If you are struggling with gender identity, you are convinced that you're a man trapped in a woman's body or vice versa, or if you have a child, you've got three boys, but boy number three acts different than the other boys, and now even at the age of four, he really believes he's a girl, and you are struggling with these issues, I do not for a moment want to demean or downplay the reality of these struggles. I do not for a moment want to minimize them and say, oh, they're just going to go away. No, in no way do I want to do that. And my greatest desire is that you receive help from the inside out. In other words, my greatest desire is that whatever the cause, be it spiritual, be it emotional, be it mental, be it some hormonal or biological or chemical issue that has kicked in, creating some abnormalities, whatever the cause is, my hope is that we can find effective cures for the problem. Because it's definitely a problem to feel like you're trapped in the wrong body. It's definitely a problem to feel that you're, quote, misgendered. Would we all agree with that? That is definitely a problem, all right? And the goal is not that we then say, okay, send the boy to school dressed as a girl and give him a girl's name, then put him on hormone blockers as he comes near puberty, and then keep him on hormones after puberty, and then, as soon as he's able, get him sex change surgery and then hormones for life. That certainly should not be the goal. The goal should certainly be, let's try to find help from the inside out. So can we all agree that that is the goal? That would be the very best. You say, well, we've tried that, we're done. You're telling me that all research on the subject is done? You're telling me that all possible cures and treatments have been exhausted? You're telling me that while science continues to look for a cure for cancer and while science continues to seek to combat other illnesses and problems and issues, that this is one we should say we're done with? Obviously not. So we can differ as to what should be done right now and what's best for the child or the adult right now. We can differ about that, but you should not differ with me when I say the present solution is clearly not ideal and clearly not the best. And to call that transphobic, it's absolutely the opposite. It's true love that says, let's keep looking, let's keep searching, let's keep trying to help from the inside out. All right. The transgender revolution, though, seeking to make gender something that is totally between our ears, what's in our head, and purely socially defined, and then disconnected from biological sex. And to argue that there are no intrinsic differences between men and women, as some have done. Or to claim that Bruce Jenner is a genuine woman now and should be treated as a genuine woman. Or to teach little children in school, beginning in kindergarten and first grade, that maybe they're a boy trapped in a girl's body and vice versa. These things are harmful. These things are wrong. These things are based on false premises. And ultimately, because they are not natural, ultimately, because they violate God's intention for the human race, ultimately, because they open up literally an infinite number of categories of gender. Ultimately, because they break down very distinctions God has put in this world for the establishment and flourishment of the human race, ultimately, the transgender revolution will fail. All right, let's look at some recent headlines. How about this from the Christian Post? The Christian Post reported this on July 15th, so just yesterday. Transgender referrals for kids as young as six hit record high in Scotland. Do you hear that? Transgender referrals for kids as young as six hit record high in Scotland. Now, I had read about something similar just in the UK in general a few days ago, or well, maybe a few weeks back, a similar phenomenon. And people are wondering Of course, we have an increase in the states as well. And a recent survey of kids in California indicated something like 27% said they weren't sure about their gender identity. So how do you go from people who legitimately are intersex, maybe 0.05% of the population, people who have some type of genetic malfunction or abnormality or biological abnormality or chromosomal abnormality or ambiguous genitalia, those kinds of things. How do you go from 0.05% of that and then maybe add, so that's, those are legitimate physiological issues, all right? How do you go from that to maybe 1% who identify as transgender? So you're now talking about another category where biologically, chromosomally, they are fully male or fully female, yet are convinced on the inside that they are not. So it has to do with what's going on in their brains primarily, right? I don't say that to belittle. Our brains are important, right? How do we go from maybe 1% to 5 or 10 or 20? How do you get these numbers? Get these numbers because mixed signals are being sent to little children. You get these numbers because transgender activism is being celebrated by the media. You get these numbers because schools have curricula. For example, schools in Sweden have it as part of their fundamental curriculum to undo gender differences. So to have boys playing with girls' toys and girls playing with boys' toys, and of course, ironically, we're also told that if a boy likes girls' toys, maybe he's really a girl, although we're told to break down these societal distinctions, so the whole thing kind of crashes and burns right there. Toys R Us, going out of business in the States, had their biggest, the biggest toy company in Sweden, and years back, we documented it, showed pictures from their catalog where girls are playing with Nerf guns and boys are playing with princess dolls. I mean, this is bound to fail. This is unnatural. Ultimately, men are different than women and women are different than men in fundamental ways. And it's been demonstrated really out of the womb how boys respond to certain stimuli versus how girls respond to certain stimuli. How different parts of the brain are used. If a man has a stroke in certain part of his brain, it affects him one way. If a woman has a stroke in that same part of her brain, it affects her differently. Because there are fundamental differences. Fundamental differences. And to deny these based on perception is to deny reality. And you have more and more homes where kids are being raised in gender-confused ways, where kids are lacking good role models of either mother or father. There's someone that we knew years ago, knew the person growing up, and then sent Facebook page, oh, last year, heartbreaking, that the girl married to the guy, they're now switching roles. She's becoming the guy and he's becoming the girl. And this is wholeness for them. These are very sad states of affairs. And when you look at where this is going, when you look at the trajectory, you say this can't continue. This is societal madness. So this is just the first headline we're looking at. I've got a bunch more for you. But these are some of the fundamental reasons, friends, why I say the transgender revolution cannot succeed. It ultimately cannot succeed. All right, friends, we come back. There is a whole lot more to talk about. We've got a really special interview tomorrow. You don't want to miss it with Dania Greenberg. She is the visionary founder behind the Tree of Life version of the Bible. I participated in the translation project. It is a unique Bible, never done before, with a team of Messianic Jewish and Christian scholars. And it gives you Jewish background in unique ways as you're reading. And, of course, retains the names like Yeshua for Jesus and Miriam for Mary and Messiah for Christ and Torah for law, wherever that's appropriate, etc. So we're going to be talking about the translation. And check out this week's special offer. Yeah, there is a beautiful giant print Bible. Now that I'm 63, I really appreciate giant print Bibles. It is beautiful, beautifully produced with a glossary of Hebrew words in the back. So we'll be talking about that. And folks have sent in questions about the translation philosophy and specific verses. I'll be answering those questions as well tomorrow. All right, we'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, this is really interesting. This is very, very interesting. Drudge Report, which is a news aggregator, so it just has headlines on it and has posted in a strategic way that it makes it tremendously influential. Years back, folks, notice if you want to know what Rush Limbaugh is going to talk about, go to Drudge Report and you'll see the headlines there. A lot of times drives his content. And of course, very conservative and very pro-Trump, very strongly pro-Trump. And yet the headline on Drudge Report, here it is, just looking at it with you've got to see the picture. Putin dominates in HEL, hell short for Helsinki. And here is Putin striding out with a smile erect, and just this moment with Trump, he's walking behind, and his shoulders are slumped, and his legs hanging, and he's got this defeated look on his face. This is on Drudge Report. Interestingly enough, Michael Brown here. Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. And all of you who are able to watch us on YouTube or Facebook as we do our live streams, that's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. So if you're not driving in the car listening on our great radio stations, if you are with computer access or even on your cell phone, you can watch these live streams. And when I talk about a graphic like this, we pull it up so you can see it. Other headlines. So again, CIA former head John Brennan, Trump's press conference, an impeachable offense, treasonous. Trump winks at Putin during high-stakes Helsinki summit, slams foolishness of past administrations. Putin declares Cold War is over, and on it goes. CNN headlines, Chuck Schumer, Trump took word of KGB over the CIA. Top Republicans in Congress break with Trump over Putin comments. So these are the most stunning, shameful moment of Trump's presidency. So Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, says he is appalled by what Trump said during his press conference with Putin. And Putin vigorously denies that there was any collusion between him, their countries, to get him in office. That much I've always believed, that there was no collusion between Trump and Russia. Did Russia try to hack the elections? Did they think Trump was the better guy to get in for their own purposes? That's a whole other subject. But we shall see. We shall see. Anderson Cooper, disgraceful performance by Trump. Let's look at the headlines on Fox at the moment, Fox being a conservative pro-Trump website. Bipartisan backlash. Trump triggers outrage over defiant news conference with Putin as Dems fume over Mueller criticism. So I guess what we can glean from this, only knowing about the press conference and not knowing what happened behind closed doors, what we can glean is this. Trump is much more upset with Robert Mueller and his endless investigation, which were triggered by the firing of James Comey and him leaking information to a reporter, which then led to the calling of a special investigation. Trump is more upset with Robert Mueller than he is concerned about Vladimir Putin. That just seems to be a bottom line reality here. Now, look, he blasted Theresa May in England saying, why are you getting your natural gas from Russia? You get it from us. You get it from others. Why are you working with them? So, again, it seems to point to him being hostile to Russia and Putin. In that setting, He just referred to the European Union as a foe. So obviously he's got some issues, trade issues or other things where he thinks there are imbalances. And yet here, he's basically going to say what he's going to say. And his biggest thing is, obviously, again, forgive me for speculating, because these are serious, weighty issues. But to the extent we can read between the lines, here's what happens. Trump continues to be fuming with the Mueller investigation, which drags on and on and on and on, and to date has made no clear connection between Trump and Russia colluding to win him the election. So he remains very upset with this. This is stuck in his craw. He meets with Putin. They have some very candid back and forth about issues going on. Trump is happy to blame past administrations for mishandling